The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Sunday morning, but this time a holiday weekend. And good morning. I'm David Grossman. And a message to all turkeys. Now, I'll be careful with that word, but you know what I mean. All the turkeys, take cover, because this is the weekend. You're going to want to hide. And the message is to the turkeys who go gobble, gobble, and some of the other turkeys, be careful. I won't mention who they are, though, because they could get offended. Some of the turkeys who are involved in, shall we say, high school sport, they'll get emotional and they'll come up with all kinds of tactics that end up hurting student athletes. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving, folks. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? A time to be with family, a time to show appreciation for what you have, a time to show humility and gratitude for maybe what you also have, and maybe a time to stuff your belly with food, or maybe you don't even celebrate it as well. For me, every day is Thanksgiving, and when you wake up in the morning, I find when you see, when you're able to walk, when you're able to talk, breathe, kind of be happy to be alive, that's also Thanksgiving. Well, on the show this morning, we have what it's like to play hockey at a major university in the United States and also on a scholarship, and then come home when things go a bit, shall we say, a little bit wrong. And also physical and health education in Canada. We have 20 minutes a day for elementary schools, as if 20 minutes will do much, and absolutely zero, zilch, for high school students. Is all this education talk to try eliminate teenage obesity working? Why are we spending so much money in staffing at provincial physical and health education associations? And for what? We'll hear from a national executive director of physical and health, and she's based in Ottawa. Her perspective, her thoughts about are today's kids in schools in shape? And when is a win a win? When does the system look at things that have gone wacky and stop penalizing, shall we say, innocent athletes? If you missed it, Laurier, according to the Canadian Inter-University Sport, the national organization overseeing university sports, used an ineligible player, they claim. But was he? The director of athletics for Laurier will talk with us about a national rule that needs some form of clarification in education. And also on the show this morning, we'll look back not long ago, a horrific story about a talented teenage athlete who was paralyzed in an accident. And now, many months later, what is he doing? What help is he getting? And why is he thankful, in his own words, as he says, to be alive? Why don't more people care about him and others who are victims of accidents on this Thanksgiving weekend? First, we have two teachers, both coaches, many years of voluntary work helping young people. These guys are good. They're very good. And they should be role models. They are role models for what a high school coach and a teacher are about. And I wouldn't have invited them into the show if I didn't think that highly of them. I mean, it is a Thanksgiving weekend. So we'll discuss the state of high school sports, athletes, maybe even the politics of athletic associations and how they stick their nose maybe where it shouldn't be. And whether we should be able to, ready for this, pick and choose who we want to coach. Should we be able to use the four-letter word? And I mean fire. Not hire, but fire. Coaches. Volunteers. because they either are unqualified, just don't come across professional, or might be far too over-aggressive in what they do. And if you've been to a high school game, you'll know what I'm talking about. So in studio today, Mike Russell, high school teacher, coach. He's done more for high school volleyball than I don't think anybody else. He's been coaching for 25 years. Mike, welcome to the Fan 590.
Good morning, David.
Your first time here?
Yep.
25 years as a coach?
Yeah, half my life.
25 times 2.
I'll work it
That's
out.
30,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Al Humphrey is here.
Good morning, David.
How
Happy
you doing,
Thanksgiving
Al?
To you.
Thank you very much. Am I the turkey?
Some people seem to think that. I don't, but I've heard you referred to as a turkey on many occasions.
Okay. Well, at least I'm not a fat turkey.
That's true. You've slimmed down quite a bit.
Thank you very
Looking
much.
Looking slim and trim, you must be swimming a lot.
I'm swimming a lot. I'm also running from a lot of people, too.
That
now,
I
you've
can
been
see.
A teacher for 41 years.
I retired in 2001, but I have been doing quite a bit of supply teaching since that time.
And you've been a coach for four decades?
Four decades, actually 41 years. Started in 1969.
And they say your specialty is basketball. Do you know anything about the sport?
I have been quite successful in basketball. I've also been very successful in girls' flag football as well.
How do you make coaching more fun, guys? I mean, you've seen it. How do you make coaching more fun than what it really is?
I think if you're at a school with, if you're blessed with very good athletes, you can make it a very great experience for most of the kids on your teams. I've coached teams where the athletes wanted to participate, but I don't know if God had been coaching them if we could have won more than two games in a season. And very often, the joke was, I'd get phone calls in the morning, knock, knock, who's there? Oh for who? Oh for 10, and after you play us today, you're going to be 0 for 11.
I thought you were talking about Oprah.
No. I leave her out of it.
How do you find coaching?
Well,
like you've been around for a while. Do you see it to be a lot of fun?
I find it tremendously rewarding. I mean, it's the one environment where you choose who you get to work with. And that's what I love about high school sport is that you see who walks into your gym or onto your field, and then the games begin. You get to try and teach. You get to try and mold. You get to try and pass on the enthusiasm you might have, and it's not necessarily all about winning. Like, I think that's the joy of it.
Our in-studio guest, Mike Russell, who you just heard from, I should mention, Rick Hansen Secondary School in Mississauga. That's where you're still working.
Yes, of last Friday, anyway.
Well, I'm sure you will be. And Al Humphrey, where are you now?
I'm retired. I'm working at Bushwood Golf Course.
But you're also doing supply teaching, though. Is it at Bethune?
It's at Bethune I do it, but I haven't done any days yet this year.
Now, people found out somehow that I was going to raise the topic of whether we should fire coaches. I think I mentioned it last week, to be honest with you. And I've been swamped with a lot of replies via email, and I'm going to quote one of them. Bang on, get rid of the trash. I don't know if that's the reference to some coaches, to individuals, to officials. Al, you've been official, whether maybe that's a reference to me. I don't know. I think it's harsh words, but many say coaches need a lesson or two or three. Others are saying coaches are fine, just leave them alone as it is, status quo. I guess my comments again to you gentlemen are, I mean, what are your thoughts about what you see about the way some people coach? I mean, you're professional teachers, you're professional coaches as well, in my opinion. You don't get paid for it. But do you like the kind of stuff that you see, the attitude on the part of some of your coaches in delivering the message, getting it across to student-athletes? Or do some of them think that they're coaching in the national leagues, the professionals, et cetera? Mike?
Well, I know that for us at our school, the overriding principle is that we want people who want to coach, not someone who's just volunteering to sit at the end of the bench. The expectation is that you're going to interact. You're going to do everything you can to become a better coach. We'll support you in any way we can, whether that's assisting with going to clinics or getting the exhibition games or just meeting with other coaches. Because it's a job, and I think that's the way it has to be looked at. It's a job, and therefore, if you're not doing your job in any other line of work, you would be removed from that job.
But it's a job, Al, that you're not being paid for. And the union is saying, you're going out of your way to help these kids. And the school boards are just saying nothing because they realize the value of you being there.
Yes, if you imagine, say, the basketball program at some of the schools, the fact that their gyms are full when they have games being played, the fact that, you know, they might have 70 kids participating in the sport, the service that those coaches are doing, just keeping those kids off the streets, out of the malls until 6:30, then they go home and they're supposedly doing their homework. That is an unbelievable service to the city of Toronto or wherever the coaching is going on.
I don't know if this is the case in the Peel District School Board with you, Mike Russell, but I do know this is the case in the Toronto District School Board, Al Humphrey. And that is, you can allow an emergency supply teacher to go into a classroom and be with these kids, but you can't allow the same person to coach in a gym or on a field or at a pool or you name it, unless you have a real teacher standing there and looking pretty. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Well, in certain cases it does, but with me, I mean, I've been told that I have to have a teacher along.
It's liability. It's liability, they're telling me.
It is the liability thing. However, you know, having taught and been involved in sports for so long, who would be better to be able to handle the situations, because almost every situation that could arise, I've probably experienced already. But that person who doesn't particularly know anything about sports at all is sitting there on the end of the bench. No, I know what you're saying.
What do you think, Mike?
Well, technically, I think liability is everyone's trying to cover something
their
to
butt.
Protect themselves. And with respect to that, In our association or in our school board, any employee is capable of coaching. So we have had a custodian coaching. We've had administrators coaching and things like that. So, I mean, I think the one thing that I would support with respect to that is the fact that at least then there's someone on the bench that would be ideally looking out for the educational end of the student athlete. Whereas if I bring someone in the community, they might be very technical, very knowledgeable, and geared to trying to prepare our athletes as well as possible. But we need to keep...
Even if it means no sport at the school, you're gonna lean that way.
Well, I think then I'm looking for that teacher volunteer that is willing to try to learn and work with.
I don't understand it, and I probably never will, because a lot of people say I'm ignorant. But when you have more than 100 teachers on your staff, surely somebody is available to stand there and allow kids to participate in sport. We're going to open the phones. We're going to ask you to weigh in on this discussion when we come back after our break at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, or if you're on your Rogers cell phone at *590. And Mike Russell, I want to find out when you fell and hurt yourself, because 4 provincial championships, you are convening them next month at the same time in volleyball. And we're going to ask you, do you get any time off? Do people actually care about the tremendous amount of work that you're putting in the sport of volleyball? 4 provincial championships, and the organization who's overseeing it all will probably want to show up for a banquet, hand out some awards, and pick up a check. I'm sure they're going to love my comments. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and it's Sunday morning with David Grossman on the Fan 590.
It's time for the Dean of College Sports. Attendance will be taken. It's Sunday morning with David Grossman on The Fan 590.
22 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Sunday morning of a holiday weekend, and a happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Thank you for giving me to the Fan 590. Our 19th year of bringing amateur sports to this wonderful radio station. And this morning we have two in-studio guests. Mike Russell, high school teacher from Rick Hansen Secondary in the district of Mississauga, otherwise known as the Peel District School Board. Al Humphrey is here. He's a retired teacher. 4 decades of coaching. Long time with the Toronto District School Board. Some people think too long. But anyway, you agree with that?
I think it's coming to the end of the line.
Yeah,
I really do.
Some people think it's too long for me to be doing this too, because I tend to bring out the issues and the concerns. Right, Mike Russell? Oh. They don't like that, do they?
Most people don't. They want things to just stay calm and no controversy and let's move on.
Go away, right? Yeah. Just the scores only. Do you agree with that?
No, I think there's a lot of issues out there now. I think there's a lot of different situations. I think there's a lot of good and bad. And sometimes I think we spend a little too much time on the bad if you watch any news broadcasts. But I think sometimes the bad is why we have 25 pages of constitutional paper in our...
you must do this, you must do that.
Yes.
All that. Yeah. Well, people who bully are insecure. We know that. Sometimes they feel powerful, but every person, I am told, has bullied somebody somehow, sometime in their life, whether they know it or not. I guess my question to both you gentlemen, do you believe that there's a form of bullying that goes on in high school sport that nobody's done anything about? Al Humphrey?
I see it all the time as an official, well, let me rephrase that. I've seen it many times. I'm going to tell you that most coaches that I see, and I ref basketball, flag football, and boys tackle football, most of the coaches follow the rules. They are there to make it a worthwhile experience. However, I have seen many occasions where coaches have bullied not only their players, but also officials. And on many occasions, it's by coaches who are not particularly that astute. Their teams might be blowing people away, but that's not, I don't think, thanks to anything that they're particularly doing, but the fact that they have the better athletes. I always feel that a coach who can go to some place and take athletes and make them overachieve, not necessarily win a championship or even make the playoffs, but overachieve from expectations that they had at the start of the season. That person is a much better coach who gets a team filled with athletes and then, okay, so they win a championship. But that's not really that great of an accomplishment because they were expected to win the thing in the first place.
Mike Russell.
I agree 100%. I think you, I mean, I know myself, I'm not a calm, quiet person all the time. Definitely
you're
not in practice. I guess it depends who you'd talk to on certain days at certain times. I've been known to yell, but the one thing I don't have a lot of patience for is yelling at officials.
Well, there is an athletic association in this province that thinks I'm a bully because I just want to go out there and promote high school sport in a fashion that they don't see it to be that way. Now, I don't tell them how to do their job, and I don't think they should tell me how to do my job. But Mike Russell, we have a gentleman who's waiting patiently on the line right now. Apparently, he's one of your former students, and he's joining us now from Toronto. John, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, I am a former student of Mike's in the late 80s.
Did he bully you, John?
Not at all.
All right.
I just wanted to call in when I heard he was on this morning and just talk about a lot of the things you are saying about when I was not a superstar volleyball player. We had superstar volleyball players on the team. But Mike coached everyone the same, treated them with respect, and we were a superstar team. We lost in the office finals. But, you know, when tryouts came and I made the team and Mike said, look, you're a part of this team. You're not, you know, going to be starting every game and doing everything, but I'm going to teach you the best I can, and you will have a role on this team. And now I am a teacher. I am a coach. I've been teaching for 15 years and doing that, and I just wanted to call in and
thank you, John.
Mike, pardon?
Thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah, and all the best to everyone, and keep up your hard work.
Thank you very much. So do you know who that is?
I have a feeling I do.
Right, so you contributed towards this gentleman becoming a successful coach and a teacher.
And becoming a teacher is probably the more important to me it is the successful coach.
And he is saying thanks, yeah. Giving.
And I think that's all a good coach wants, is that we make a difference every day. We don't always know. We don't always find out about it. Sometimes it's years later. Sometimes it's at the moment. But I think you just hope that you are making a difference in someone's life.
What does it take to be a good coach if you're in the high school system or in the amateur sport world of elementary schools, maybe grassroots, university or college? You have a question for our guests, for me, give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or on your cell phone at *590 on this holiday weekend. In studio, Mike Russell, Al Humphrey. Gentlemen, what's the purpose in your mind? I mean, what do you think the purpose is of being a high school coach? Is it to help a team? Is it to help an individual? Is it to go out there and pile up the championships so you look impressive and the principal can come along and say, nice job, gentlemen? Al Humphrey?
In my recent experiences, I haven't had too many principals come up to me and say, nice job, way to go. As a matter of fact, well, I'm not talking about Bethune, but At other schools, yeah, I found it very hard for principals to come up and say, congratulations, way to go. You took some kids that we didn't think were going to do very much, and either you lucked out or you did some good work.
What's the purpose of coaching to you, Mike Russell? Why are you coaching?
Just to provide an opportunity for kids to do something besides hang out in a mall. Besides create problems somewhere else. I mean, every study statistics would show that schools where kids are active and involved in what's happening at their building generally have less problems than those schools around them. And I think the tone that teachers or volunteers can do, whether it be in athletics or drama, music, any club that has any issue in the school, keeps kids involved, and kids who are involved are less likely to be in trouble.
We often see outrageous scores in high school games. I mean, absolutely outrageous. You pick the sport. I don't think, well, maybe it can be in volleyball. I guess 25-0 is outrageous in a game. I know in football and all these other sports. You pick anyone you want. My question is, why aren't coaches, I mean, why aren't people who are in the business of teaching, educating, dealing with this scenario in a better way rather than allow students to be embarrassed? I mean, kids who are not as talented, obviously, as others are ending up frustrated and probably wanting to quit simply because they're getting their derriers blown away. I mean, you're nodding, Al Humphrey. You've seen it before, right?
Well, I've seen it many times in basketball and in football. I can honestly say that I have done it on two occasions, and both times it was as a result, it was sort of a revenge factor, but I cut it back by half of what my team had been blown out, just so I could feel a little bit better about it. Why did I do it? As I say, it was revenge because a team of mine was blown away by 80 points. That was in basketball. Why it happened, I have no idea. Maybe that coach just didn't like me. Certainly didn't like my kids because, I mean, sort of, it was not a case that he didn't like my kids because they were fantastic kids. But I think when coaches blow other coaches or teams away or schools away, it's because they can. As a referee, I stand there and I don't do makeup calls, or I don't punish teams if they're blowing a team away. I don't care if you win 70 or 80 to nothing, but I think that coach should care. And it comes from the coach. I mean, the kids, if you cannot coach your kids to be satisfied with a 30-0 victory, it's got to go to 65-0, then the problem is with the coach. The kids should be molded by the coaches.
Mike Russell, have you ever been obligated Do you ever feel, or have you ever done it, where you've gone up to a fellow teacher who's, people are going to think I'm attacking teachers this morning. I'm not. But teachers are responsible for coaching kids. That's why I'm saying it. Have you ever gone up to somebody and after a game and said, you know what, that was uncalled for?
I've sort of had the other end. I went up to a coach once and said, you know what, we're not very good. We're going to run up and down the floor. It was a basketball game. We're going to do everything we can to score. We're probably not going to score a lot, but we'll play hard the whole game. We lost by 80 points. Yet, at no point in the game was it only in our end. It was back and forth. We just had a problem putting the ball in the basket. But I've been at the other end of that, where I've had a team that's, and boys basketball is a great example, because they seem to have the fascination with triple digits, where basically I've said to a person I was coaching with from the community that if you hit three digits on that scoreboard, that will be the last game you coach here at this school, because there is no need to win by that much.
We had a basketball game, or a girls game, by the way. It was 63 to nothing. Nothing. And we wrote the story about it in the Star and mentioned it here. Would you believe the principal of the school, who was female, was so upset and irate that she complained? She said that we had no business bringing that to the attention of the rest of the world.
Was this the principal at the school who scored 66 or who scored zero?
The one who scored zero.
Oh.
And she felt that it was an embarrassment to the kids. She didn't say anything about the fact that they didn't score a point in the basketball game. But this is, again, getting back to what we talked about earlier. They want to, in a way, have control of what gets out and what doesn't get out. And if you do something that some people don't like, they won't talk to you. They'll carry a grudge, hint, hint, to an organization who's listening in right now. Or they'll want you to go in the corner. Or they'll want to remove you as the person. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or on your cell phone, *590. The people, a lot of these coaches, administrators, even officials, are hurting, are the kids. And I don't know why they're even in this business of teaching kids and helping them get better if that's the other side of some of these coaches. I mean, I'm asking you for your opinion, but I also want to know, is there something called protocol in your coach's manual? I've gone through a lot of these coaches. You must do this. You have to do that. Be careful of this. What about this? I don't see the word protocol in there, or acting like a professional person. Is there?
Well, I think if I pick our association, we've got a constitution that each year adds something, some new regulation. And it always seemed to me when I sat on that executive that we were trying to mandate ethics. And it just seemed like that's an ongoing battle, that why do we have to write down how coaches should behave properly? Why do we have to meet, you know, and we had multiple instances where we would have to discipline coaches and say, well, you're only going to hurt the students. Well, my comment was, what was the coach doing? You know, if they're going to hurt the students.
Al Humphrey, do you think we should fire, not hire, but fire community coaches, high school coaches, teachers, people who volunteer?
So that they're not allowed to coach, that's
yes.
What you mean?
Prevent them.
I've seen coaches of different situations, community coaches and teacher coaches, and in my estimation, they should be fired for the antics that they perform on the court or on the field. They should not be allowed to coach. And purely from the fact that they think that they are the center of what's going on in high school sports. Not that they're doing it for the kids, but in their own way, they're seeking to glamorize their own situation, and they will stop at nothing to achieve that goal. Whether it's 66-0 in football, or 80-6 in basketball, or in my case, lost the game once 108-6.
Before we go to a break, I want to ask you one more question, and I need an answer, yes or no. Maybe unfair, but yes or no. You can elaborate later on after we come back. In the course of celebration, when you gentlemen have coached high school teams, have you ever been caught up in the jubilation, and at the end of victory, patted a kid on the back or on the bum? Yes or no? Al Humphrey?
Yes.
Yes.
And you realize that what you did is uncalled for.
Well, he didn't like it.
Mike Russell?
I understand.
There you go. We're talking high school sport. We're talking college sport, university sport, amateur sport in general. Our in-studio guest, Mike Russell, an outstanding teacher and coach at Rick Hansen Secondary School, Mississauga. Al Humphrey, also an outstanding coach and a teacher. 41 years now on the circuit to coach and teach whenever somebody needs you? Something like that. Our in-studio guest, weigh in. Give us a call. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590. My name is David Grossman. It's Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday morning with me on the Fan 590.
It's Sunday morning with David Grossman, covering the biggest stories in high school, college, and university sports on the Fan 590.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. That's what some people say I do all the time. Come on, be nice. It's Thanksgiving. You got to be thankful for giving the world me.
Oh.
You don't like that, Al Humphrey, huh? There you go. I'm David Grossman. This is Sunday morning. Yes, it is, in case you were just trying to figure out. I'm on a holiday weekend on the Fan 590. We're talking sport, amateur sport. You name it, high school, college, university, grassroots. Are you happy with the people who are coaching your children? Well, we have two coaches and very good ones. I would trust them with my kid anytime. Mike Russell from Rick Hansen Secondary School, Mississauga. Al Humphrey with the Toronto District School Board. Gentlemen, the two of you, when you put your teaching and your coaching experience together, you're close to 100 years, right? Something like that, unless I failed my math.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Long time. Absolute long time. Well, Gary's waiting patiently. He's got a question. He's got something to share with us as well. He's joining us from Orangeville on this Sunday morning. How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Very good.
Great.
Real quick, I had a great bunch of kids one year where I was coaching soccer. One of my boys, as a matter of fact. So anyway, what happened was we had lost a game. I believe it was 8-1 earlier in the year. Now, that gentleman saw that as a love fest. He walked off the field.
I think we got some problem with that cell line. Gary, give us a call back and see if you can get a landline as well, and we'll entertain your call. Very much appreciated as well. Well, you know, guys, we've heard this before. There are kids out there who can't afford to participate in sport. They just don't have the money. Their parents are in a situation, or they may not even have parents, are in a situation economically where things are not there. They're not necessarily in the best of shape as well. There are a lot of restrictions that are getting in the way. Well, listen to these words, and spoken by our next guest as well. Every child should have the opportunity to participate in as many sport and physical activities as possible from a health, social, and human development perspective. The reality is that any family would have limited opportunity to provide the wealth of experience that a child needs economically, and that's through money, and realistically through time. Something has to be done to get kids involved in participation, whether it's intramural or whether it's varsity sports. Very interesting topic. Everybody agrees on that. Joining us right now from our nation's capital, Ottawa, in case you didn't know that, little geography lesson, Andrea Grantham, the Executive Director of the Physical and Health Education Canada. Andrea, good morning. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did. You got it right on.
And my question to you is very simple. We shake our head every day. The government says 20 minutes of physical education for elementary school kids, absolutely nothing for high school kids.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with all this money that's being wasted on education and fat people?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, what the government is saying, especially in Ontario and Alberta and BC, is 20 minutes of physical activity time, which is the big difference between physical activity time and physical education time. Physical activity time translates in their mind as time for kids to be physically active, playing in the playground, maybe some planned activities through the teacher, but it doesn't usually have an educational component. The purpose of physical education is to provide every child with the skills, the knowledge, and the opportunity to develop the habits to be physically active. So that foundation of how to run, jump, throw, those skills that serve as a baseline to so many different activities. And when kids don't have that foundation, they're less likely to participate in physical activity. So I wish that, number one, the government would mandate at least 20 minutes of physical education time. It's not. It's physical activity time, and quite often that's a Band-Aid situation. It's, instead of providing a quality phys ed program, you know, go out and run around with your kids for 20 minutes. And sadly, many schools aren't being held accountable to even deliver that, so it's not even really happening anyways.
How do you react, Andrea, to the fact that our high school kids don't even get the 20 minutes?
It's very sad because, you know, we are living in a generation where we've got, you know, 29% of our Canadian childhood population obese. We have an epidemic in this country, which is, you know, unfounded given the type of country that we live in. And yet some easy solutions like making sure that every child gets that daily physical activity time is not being put in place. And in most schools across the country, kids are required one physical education credit. So how does that help them to understand that being physically active is important when they're not even really required to do it? And quite often when they, in secondary schools, when children do get it, they're getting a specialist teacher delivering a physical education program. They're just not getting enough of it.
A Guelph High School teacher, an educator, he's been on the show before, Steve Friesen.
Yes.
You know him.
Yes, I do.
He's organized an excellent program recommending intramural sport programs in high schools right across the province, for that matter.
Yeah.
He was doing very well. He was getting some action. People were buying into it. There was some resistance from fellow teachers who wanted access to the gym for their varsity teams. But still, he was getting more kids off their butt and participating. And then it was shut down mm-hmm. by the Ontario government. They decided they didn't have enough funding.
Yeah.
How do you react to that?
It's just absolutely ridiculous, because what Steve is really doing is making sure that those kids who have the least access to being physically active have an opportunity to do it. It's such a no-brainer. And the fact that people are fighting through gymnasiums, there's so many opportunities through recreation facilities, outdoors, classrooms, hallways that you can be physically active. It's just that the support is needed to put these programs in place. So it absolutely is dumbfounding that we know so much. I mean, I've been in this business for almost 20 years, and 20 years ago we had to make the case. If you don't provide physical education, this is what will happen. If you don't have specialists teaching phys ed, this is what will happen. Or we're living that today. We no longer have to make the case, but nothing is being done to change it, which is, and there are so many doable solutions that are out there. So it really is going to take a rally of parents who can speak out to ask for a quality phys ed program for their kids. Ask the question, is my child receiving a quality phys ed program? Is the teacher who's delivering the subject qualified? Is there enough time in the curriculum? Are there resources there to support it? Facilities in place? We all see that physical education is on the report card, but many parents have no idea that their child may be getting it once every 6 days, and it may not even be linked to the curriculum. It may just be go run around in the gymnasium. So we really have to speak out, and the parents have the most powerful voice in the school system, so we really rely on them to make some noise.
Al Humphrey, you want to weigh in on this?
Hi, Andrea, it's Al. I was absolutely revolted when they came in with the credit system, and it was shown that kids only had to take, what, how many credits? Two high school phys ed credits? Is that what it is?
It's one in most provinces in Manitoba, but they've actually made it two.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a revolting situation that they can concentrate on so many other subjects that, in my mind, are not nearly as important as quality physical education in the high schools. Why have they done this? Why have they not seen the path that they've sent these kids on?
You know, sadly, physical education has declined in the last two decades, where it's been removed from the curriculum because there's so many competing priorities that are taking place. And physical education, sadly, was viewed as a frill area. And I know the arts folks would certainly say that they've had the same things happen to them. It's not viewed as valued learning. It is physical education. It's not just go out and play. It's providing that foundation, that base, and something that ensures that every child gets access to. And there's no explanation for it other than there's competing priorities, but I think we have a situation now that it can't be ignored. This is no longer an education issue. This is a health issue affecting our nation, and everybody has to step up, and schools are a big part of that.
Hi, Andrea. It's Mike. We tried something. We're trying something this year with our grade nines. It's just because I found it utterly useless that they could take one semester of phys ed and never be exposed to any activity again for their high school career, that we're actually have all our grade 9 phys ed students every other day for the whole year, in the hope that we can spend some time trying to teach life changes to get them more interested and more aware of it. I think the other aspect of it is when we used to have 5 years of high school in Ontario, it allowed students more flexibility. I think when we went down to four and the overriding concept that they had to get all the essential courses to get into colleges and universities left phys ed and any activity or any interest activities sitting on the outside.
Absolutely.
You know, according to the World Health Organization, and for that matter, the United Nations, I did my homework, by the way, folks.
Mm-hmm, I can tell.
It's a fundamental right, they claim, for children to be exposed to sports and physical activities. Is our government not listening?
No. And it's funny because I've done a lot of advocacy where I've gone in and spoken to many officials at the federal level, and they'll look at me and say, you know, why are you coming to me? Education is a provincial jurisdiction. This is something that the provinces should be dealing with. And my answer to that is when the World Health Organization, the United Nations, make such a significant claim that physical education is a fundamental right, and when you have 30% of the population overweight or obese, this is no longer education, this is health. And our federal government needs to make just as significant claims as our international partners do, so that we can make something happen and enable the provinces to take action and to do what's necessary to ensure that every kid gets phys ed.
Andrea, I've just an example. Think about the Commonwealth Games. A little country like it's a huge country, but not very many people population-wise. They are destroying the rest of the Commonwealth. Canada, I think this morning, I think we have 61 medals. They have over 100 already. And I think that a great part of that is the fact that our kids don't have any physical activities. They don't, you know, they don't think that it's an important thing. However, at the other end, people say, how come we can't do as well as Australia? Well, they are a very athletically oriented nation. How about New Zealand? Why are they so good in world rugby, international rugby? We have so many more people than New Zealand, but and in the Commonwealth Games, I know we are ahead of New Zealand, but still, those places are so athletically oriented compared to us. You just see kids in schoolyards, or, you know, if you supply teach in a phys ed class, 10 of the kids don't even want to participate and aren't even properly dressed. That's an excuse to not do it, because they've just been fed this idea that other things are much more important.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Our in-studio guests, I should mention Mike Russell, Al Humphrey joining us from Ottawa, Andrea Grantham, the Executive Director of Physical and Health Education Canada. You know, this is a wonderful country that we live in. And every child goes to school, regardless of their age, their ability, their gender, culture, whatever their socioeconomic status is. Schools are integral. I mean, they're critical to reach out to kids and for physical fitness. I don't understand, and I'm going to take a shot here, the Ontario Physical Health Education Association, otherwise known as OPHEA, we very rarely hear from them in the media world. We know they send out brochures every now and then, and they've got a huge budget, and they run a conference. But what is it going to take to get organizations to start to revolt and get the message across to the municipal, provincial, and federal government officials that enough is enough? It's time for some action.
Again, I think our organizations are doing, you know, what they can with the means that they have to them. What they need is the support of those around them to speak up and to really rally for what is required. PHE Canada has set the standards of what a quality physical education program is. Hopefully OPHEA is also agreeing with those standards and trying to enforce those within their networks. And we really need those, like this call today and having this on the show to make people more aware of the situation and having people ask the questions and speaking out to the ministries of education to ensure that it's put into place. That's what we need to happen for sure.
But there's more than just having a conversation over the radio every year or twice a year or whatever it might be. I think enough of the talk. Now we got to see some of the action. Mike Russell?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Vancouver Olympics and the whole own the podium concept, it was important because it was going to be on the national stage. But once that ends and once it's off the national stage, we've got a bunch of different organizations. The ones who are in the know, like the physical education in Canada, are not the ones with the money or the decision making, like the education system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's somehow those groups have to be accountable together as opposed to always trying to work independently.
Andrea, we appreciate your time this morning on a holiday weekend as well. I know you have a conference that's coming up as well. Hopefully you'll be able to get the message across to the people attending that it's time to do something.
You bet. We're certainly working on it. I think those that are attending are pretty much those that are already converted. They're the ones that are already standing behind it. It's getting out to the other school officials, decision makers, parents, media, other partner organizations to ensure that we continue to fight for this. And you know what? I do see light at the end of the tunnel. I see that people are hearing it. I hear at Sport Canada that they're really talking about supporting the importance of physical education. And you know, that top-down support to the provinces hopefully in time will pay off. But we're at least on the agenda, which is what we've been trying to do for a long time. So thank you for including us in your call today.
Well, as a member of the media, I know nothing about your conference. Nobody's bothered to call or send me any information, so I'm going to leave that up to you.
And I will do that.
I have one other question. Are any politicians invited to your conference?
I know that the Ministry of Education, Minister of Education from Ontario has been invited to it. And certainly Ontario has just launched a new health and physical education curriculum, as you, I'm sure, heard about with some controversial issues last year. And it's an excellent curriculum. It's the best in Canada. We're hoping that it will kind of pick up across the country. And what we need now is to make sure that that great curriculum is implemented and schools need to be held accountable to it. There's no point in having great curriculum if teachers aren't required and held accountable to delivering it. And that's what we're working on now.
Andrea, thanks again very much. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you, too.
Andrea Grantham from Ottawa, the Executive Director of Physical Health Education in Canada. Well, the question for you to think about, are we fit or are we fat? I'm talking about our high school kids as well. When we come back, our in-studio guests sticking around, Mike Russell from Rick Hansen Secondary School, Al Humphrey with the Toronto District School Board. I'm David Grossman. This is Sunday Morning on the Fan 590.
It's Sunday Morning with David Grossman, covering the biggest stories in high school, college, and university sports on the Fan 590.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight.
Welcome back, Sunday morning on the Fan 590. You can stand up and dance, unless you're driving. Dan Riccio doing a marvelous job on our music selection today, and Josh Goldsmith, our executive producer, doing a superb job. I'm David Grossman. This is Sunday morning on the Fan 590. You have a holiday weekend. And if you haven't figured out in the past 2 months now that we're doing 2 hours of this, I'll just remind you, we start at 8, we go to 10, and the reaction from our listeners is outstanding. Give us a call, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590. Our in-studio guest, Al Humphrey with the Toronto District School Board, Mike Russell with the Peel District School Board. Combined, something like 65 years of coaching, free. They don't charge for it, let alone their outstanding work in the classroom as teachers. And being Thanksgiving, I don't know if you guys are going to have family coming over tonight, but I got to tell you something. I took my family out for dinner last night. Cheap guy I am. You know, once every 3 years isn't a bad idea. And went to this great restaurant in Thornhill called Ferovia. And the head chef there, he didn't know who I was. But I got his card, Michael Iannucci.
I can't believe he wouldn't know who you are.
Yeah. Michael, I think I just botched up his name. Michael Iannucci. There it is.
Oh, okay.
Fabulous food.
What kind?
Italian. So there's a little plug-in.
That's really nice.
If you don't, I mean, if you forgot to buy the turkey, and I know you're listening to one right now, then take your family out.
No, we're doing Thanksgiving tomorrow at my brother's place. My mom and my family will be going there. Should be great. Usually is. And this time, my nephew is cooking the turkey.
All right.
He tried to get his father to hop in the pan, but his father refused.
You know, since we're talking about turkey, let's talk about some of the OUA football games. Did you see what happened yesterday?
Wow. I've been turned off of university football in Canada since I was a student at U of T.
Well, I can tell you something. The University of Toronto didn't look good in Kingston. They lost a nail-biter, 66-1.
Didn't they knock off number two Ottawa?
That's right.
A few weeks what ago. Happened?
I don't know. I have no idea what happened. I wasn't there, but they lost a game. Maybe they were going in thinking they could knock off the defending Vanny Cup champs, which only had one win. Only one win this year. Now they got two, the same number as U of T. So that's what happened in Kingston. As far as York, well, they're rebuilding again. 61-15, they lost to Windsor. And probably the most exciting game of the day was taking place in Ottawa. And it was the GGs back on the winning streak, knocking off Laurier, 44-21. The game was tied at one time, and not 0-0, but anyway, 44-21. And, well, we have an issue that's going on right now, if you've been reading about it in the Star. And joining us is the Director of Athletics and Recreation, Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo. He's a former executive director, well, I don't know, assistant executive director is more like it, with an organization that runs high school sports in this province. You notice I'm not mentioning the acronym because they don't deserve to get the publicity. Anyway, Peter Baxter's on the line right now. Peter, good morning, sir.
Good morning, David. I've been listening to your show. I want to say that, you know, teachers like Mike and Al, who have been involved in teaching young people on the court, outside of the classroom. When you think about it, there's 10,000 of them like them, who really are the social support network around the province. And, you know, when you think of all the things that they do positively, like stop the dropout rate and also get kids into positive activities rather than into delinquent behavior, as well as inspiring young people like the caller that called in earlier to become to contribute to society. What kind of impact that has on Canadian society? I just want to congratulate them for their work.
Especially when they feed some of the better athletes to the U.S. system. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, they also feed some pretty good student athletes that come here, not both academically and athletically. And, you know, sometimes it needs to be said that, you know, you have to be a student to be an athlete in Canadian university sport.
Wilfrid Laurier's football program, now a record of 3 wins and 4 losses, certainly not what you expected it to be. Could be at the end of the week, lose a victory, and could go down to 2 wins and 5 losses. The scenario here involves one of your athletes, 27-year-old David Montoya, who was ruled ineligible a couple of days ago. Their claim, I say they, meaning the CIS, believe that he was in violation of one of these rules. Can you elaborate, Peter, what is the rule that he was in violation of and your opinion about it?
Well, you know, it's a rule that what they want to put in is that a player who comes into the CIS as of this year, September 2010, has 7 years to complete 5 years. That part of the rule is not bad in itself. It's been debated at all so as to keep the age of student athletes within a realm that you have 18-year-olds competing against somebody not too far removed in terms of their age. The part that's in question here is that there's a retroactivity of the rule that just dates back to last June. So it affects students who had made decisions back, as far back in our case, in January, and to come to university to complete their eligibility. And they were not aware of the rule coming in, and there's really no grandfathering. So there's been 10 schools that have... the only way that you try to get their eligibility is through compassionate appeals, and almost virtually all of them have been turned down, with the exception of maybe one or two.
Do we have a national problem here, Peter Baxter, on educating? I mean, clearly, the rules of eligibility are being misinterpreted by a number of institutions across this country. It's not just a case of Laurier being guilty, or as some people are saying, Laurier's cheating. This is a case where maybe the CIS has not effectively communicated and allowed sufficient time for this rule to take effect.
Well, that's our whole contention, is that there's a lot of ambiguity in the rule itself. You know, we are a self-policing organization, and we interpreted, in our case, our player to be eligible. And it wasn't until, a fellow athletic director said, listen, we just had our case go to the CIS, and it might be similar to yours. And then we decided that we would check with the CIS, and they interpreted a different way totally than what we had. In our case, our student-athlete made a decision to go to university, and he checked with what the rule was at the time, which was back in January, which there's no question that he was eligible under the rule at that time. For it to change in June is what's at debate here. Is that fair in student? Is it student athlete centered? And we have certainly issues of the rule being clarified right across the country with teachers, coaches, and administrators, but we also have an issue of fairness to people like our student-athlete, and obviously student-athletes at nine other institutions this year.
We've been getting a lot of emails since the story ran in the Toronto Star from readers, and their comments are fairly simple and straightforward. It's not like your player broke the criminal code of Canada. I mean, it's not like what happened across the street down the hallway at another university where kids were caught using performance-enhancing chemicals and et cetera. The question a lot of people have is, let's assume that your athlete is at fault. Let's assume he's at fault. All right, penalize him. Don't penalize the whole team.
Well, first of all, David Montoya is not at fault at all. He's caught in a situation where they're interpreting that as of June, they're also suggesting that we should have advised them back in January that of a rule that we would have not have known would have come into place that would have affected them because it was still in development at that period of time. These things happen all the time, but you have to have, in this case, a grace period for students that are in the system and not within their fault to be allowed to play for a period of time. So give some time for implementation. Make sure you educate as an association what the rule is, and educate other people who might come into the situations whether the rule applies or not. And Bob's your uncle.
Peter, it's Mike Russell. With respect to the governing body, who governs football in Ontario? Is it the OUA or is it the CIS?
No, it's a conference. It's just OUA, and the OUA is the one. It's the CIS doesn't bring any sanctions. They can bring some sanctions like fines and so forth, but they can't do anything in terms of the league standings. It's really the conference. And what's at issue here is if we get declared ineligible, the rule in the OUA is pretty straightforward. It says that use of an ineligible player requires that the offending team using the ineligible player has to forfeit the game.
Do you have the opportunity to appeal to the OUA, or does it have to go to the CIS?
Well, on the sanction itself, it would be a league matter with respect to the forfeiture.
My understanding is you cannot appeal the decision of the CIS. It's now up to the OUA whether to rubber stamp it, and they've given you, I think, a 10-day grace period while you seek another source of arbitration to try resolve this whole thing. But
Well, the last route of appeal is we all have the right to go to sport dispute resolution, which we're going to, and pick on an arbitrator. So the process starts on Tuesday, and probably a hearing later in the week with a decision on Friday.
Al?
Hi, Peter. It's Al here. I'm looking at it from an athlete or a university, prospective university student athlete. It just seems to me that there's more and more red tape being put in front of Canadian students going to university. and wanting to play sports, I can see even more of a rush down south. Even though they down south have their own particular problems, why would a kid want to go to a university here and try to play athletics at a less, I know it's a lesser level, I know that, when they could go down to the States and, even though there are big problems, I know that, in their own mind, it's what they say here, they don't see it, they don't see what could possibly happen down there, so I'm going to go down to the States where there are less problems.
Well, you know, I say to those kids that are going down the States, make sure that you're going to get the academic education that you would at a Canadian university. That's the first point. The second point is that, yeah, things like this is not great for Canadian university sport. There's no question about it that's there. But, you know, at the same time, I think that there's... you know, there needs to be rules. There's no question about it that we have in place. What we have to do is ensure that those rules are applied fairly and are student-athlete centered, so that it's fairness to all athletes that are involved, and it also makes sense. But to impose a rule in which a student who's already made a decision to come to your university, not only to take an education, but also to play, and to change it 2 months prior to the season, in our view, is unfair.
Peter Baxter, you're not only athletic director at Wilfrid Laurier University, you're also the OUA football convener as well. So
yeah.
I'm assuming you understand the rules and the regulations, et cetera. But my question earlier, it seems as if the CIS is throwing your entire university football team under a bus. If, in fact, David Montoya, he is guilty, and we don't know he is, why penalize the rest of the football team?
Yeah, it's not a question of guilt. I think this is just a case in which, you know, they're standing ground in terms of what they view as their interpretation of the rule with respect to grandfathering. And what they say is that the only way that you were grandfathered is that you had to be on the eligibility certificate the year before. Well, in our view, that's not grandfathering at all. You know, you have to grandfather those kids that are in the system appropriately, and that's what's at dispute.
Let's hope this thing gets resolved. I've heard some chatter that maybe it's time presidents of universities get involved and do something about resolving this kind of nonsense that's going on, so education is clear, rules are clear, everybody understands, and you don't penalize student athletes. I don't know. I hope both things work out in your favor, Peter, and I appreciate your time.
Well, like I say, even when I was with OFSA, even when I was with the Provincial High School Association, you know, there's sometimes that associations make errors in implementation.
Sometimes.
And they just need to be corrected. And I think oversight is really important because in Canadian university sport, it's very similar to high school sport. There needs to be the educational context that is taken into consideration here. And in this case, we feel that it's absent.
Okay, Peter, we wish you well. Good luck. And you know what? Anytime you want to come back to that provincial association, they need somebody who's competent. Thanks for joining us. Peter Baxter, Director of Athletics, Wilfrid Laurier University. I'm David Grossman. This is Sunday Morning on the Fan 590.
It's time to hear about the superstars of tomorrow. It's Sunday Morning with David Grossman on the Fan 590.
If you're just getting up now, yes, it is sunny outside. At least it is in downtown Toronto. 9:22 on the Fan 590 and a happy Thanksgiving weekend. Just a warning to all the turkeys one more time. If you haven't taken cover by now, you're in serious trouble. I mean the ones that are usually about a foot and a half tall, a little bit of feathers on the top, unlike the other turkeys that our in-studio guests are well aware of. I didn't call you a turkey, Al Humphrey. You know that, eh? I didn't call you one.
I knew that. Okay. I knew that. Although, you know, I'm developing a little bit of a throat gizzard here, so I could be confused for one.
And Mike Russell, we appreciate you coming in this morning. I finally figured out why you're wearing that sweatshirt that says Russell Athletics. It's because you have to...
I get lost, I know.
Once you reach a certain age, you remember your name, right? You just look at it in the mirror?
I ask someone for help.
Okay. Do you need help going home, by the way?
I just have to, if you can point me west, I'm good from there.
Right? I think he's a shareholder in Russell Athletic.
You think so, huh?
I wish.
I should congratulate a couple of kids first before we move on to our next guest. Kevin Pangos, a basketball player. His father coaches the women's team at York University. And, well, Kevin's a member of Canada's cadet team that won a bronze medal at the World Championships. And he's going to Gonzaga University, which is in Spokane, Washington, a great school. They've won something like 11 or 12 divisional championships, been to the Sweet 16 and the Final Eight. Great choice, and he's just saved his mom and dad $100,000 plus.
At least $100,000. Yeah. I would say more like $160,000.
And he's one of the few kids, teenagers I know, that doesn't have a cell phone. And dad, you better buy him one for Christmas. He just saved you a boatload of money.
David, can I just quickly interject real fast?
Very quick.
He is such a great player that I took my entire junior boys team from Bethune up to Hoop Dome just to watch him play so that they can see what a real player does.
And Jasmine Harris, who attends Thompson Collegiate. I should mention Kevin was at, or is at Dr. Dennison. Jasmine Harris, who attends Thompson Collegiate right here in Toronto, your neck of the woods out in Scarborough, 5'9 point guard. She's a very, very good athlete, by the way. She's going to Cal Poly, or California Polytechnic State University, also on a basketball scholarship, and we wish her well. Well, joining us now, Jessica Zaraf is a former high school hockey player in Mississauga, and she went to a school called Our Lady of Mount Carmel, an outstanding hockey program in her day, and she was a dominant athlete then, still is. Well, she went to the University of New Hampshire on an athletic scholarship, and a very good school. For the past few years, though, she's been a student at the University of Guelph. We're going to try to find out what happened. Good morning, Jessica.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you?
Good, thanks.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Not much. We have a game today at 2 o'clock against York, so pretty much going home after for some dessert.
Yeah, and you want to have that as a win, not
Absolutely.
A turkey, right?
Yes.
All right, what happened in your case? You went down to the University of New Hampshire, promising situation. Everything was going very well. Take over from there.
Probably within 1 month of being there, I kind of came in with a bit of a shoulder injury and realized being on the ice every single day was not something I could bear with anymore, the pain. So I ended up having shoulder surgery my first, I guess, month of being there, and got back into the season about a month or two later and started playing again and finished out the season, and then came back for my second year and was having a lot of pain again, and so saw a surgeon who told me there was nothing wrong with me and I was just something I'd have to live with. But I was in so much pain, hockey kind of really wasn't fun anymore. I wasn't playing to the level I knew I could play at. And so I kind of at that point was just like, I probably should stop playing and go home and do something I want to be doing instead of taking a program at UNH that I wasn't completely satisfied with.
So you came back and you're at the University of Guelph. How's the shoulder and how are you doing?
It's a lot better. I've had now 3 shoulder surgeries, so I feel like I'm kind of, I guess, essentially 6 now and ready to play at the top of my game.
And how long have you been at the University of Guelph?
This is my 3rd season with them.
How's the team doing and how are you doing? Are you the dominant player on the team?
I've been up there in the top point getters. I play on a great line, which obviously helps with my success on the ice, and I'm loving it, actually. It's a different scene, but I feel just a lot more comfortable being close to home and taking a program at school that I want to be doing.
Did you get the feeling at any time when you were in New Hampshire that the people down there didn't believe you?
I guess so. Having me knowing my own body, knowing that I'm in pain, and then seeing a surgeon that's telling me that there's nothing wrong, and then essentially telling my coach that I'm pretty much making this up, that there's nothing wrong with me, and they don't know why I can't play to the level I should be. So yeah, I guess it was that situation.
When you have so many surgeries, is that not sufficient to send a message that there is, in fact, something wrong?
You would think so.
Yeah, well, maybe the surgeries in the U.S. are different from the ones up here in Canada. Can you tell us a little bit about the difference in the hockey programs, the women hockey programs between New Hampshire and Guelph? Is it the same type of stuff, like the demand, practice, game? Is there more pressure down there than up here?
I wouldn't say more pressure. Like, you're on the ice the same amount of time. We practice at Guelph here every day. The only difference was at UNH, we had, after 3 practices a week, we'd go to the weight room to lift. Here we don't really have those types of facilities to be able just to walk across the street and have our own varsity weight room. So in that case, it was a little bit different. And then obviously the money money aspect, and I guess equipment-wise too. You get obviously a lot more perks when you're down in the States with getting your sticks and your skates supplied for you. So
one of our in-studio guests, Al Humphreys, is a high school teacher.
Yep.
Humphrey. I keep saying Humphreys. Anyway, Al Humphrey is a high school teacher, and he's been coaching high school sport for 4 decades. I mean, that's longer than a lot of people listening to this show right now have been on this earth.
Yep.
I don't know if he knows much about Canada's national winter sport called hockey, but he wants in on this thing, right, Al?
I do. I just wanted to say to you, Jessica, don't trust doctors anyway. I mean, don't they have an average lifespan of 58 years? Are you going to pay attention to somebody who's only going to live for 58 years and they're telling you what's wrong with your body?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mike? Jessica, I was just wondering, did the University of New Hampshire ever basically threaten to withdraw your support?
No, that's a thing I should have mentioned. Like, they were totally supportive when I told them, it was around Christmas time of my second year, that I was, like, pretty set on that I want to go home and not be down here anymore. They totally offered to pay for the rest of my scholarship. But it was at that point of time that I, again, was taking a program that I didn't think I'd want to use later on in life. So, in a way, it was kind of a waste of time for me to be down there. And the way I looked at it, I was on a full ride scholarship. I felt that I'd be wasting their money if I was there just continuing my education, where someone else could have the opportunity to come down and be a student athlete at that school.
The female voice you hear is that of Jessica Zaraf, a former high school hockey player, Mississauga, with Our Lady of Mount Carmel. She spent some time at the University of New Hampshire, now at the University of Guelph. Jessica, all this chatter by high schoolers, I mean, you hear it, we all hear it, about, I want to play in the NCAA, right, Al? We hear this all the time. I want to get a scholarship to the NCAA. Is it, in your opinion, is it really worth it? Or is there just too much hype? And now that you're at the University of Guelph, is there anything wrong with playing hockey and getting an education at Guelph?
Absolutely not. I was just going to say, I was totally caught up in the hype as well. Like, why wouldn't you want to say, I went down to the States and had a full ride, like $30,000 plus schooling paid for, and then to come to Canada and be like, yeah, I got some financial aid. Like, it definitely is a lot more prestigious. And I went there because I felt like it was a sense of accomplishment. It was something I saw girls above me doing and saying, hey, I want to strive for that. I want to reach that goal and have a full ride scholarship. So I think it's, people are just totally getting caught up in the hype and the glitz and glamour that come with the scholarship name. And I totally didn't even think about attending school in Canada. And if I could turn back the clocks, I would definitely weigh out my options a lot more and look at a couple of Canadian schools and U.S. schools at the same time.
Yeah, I'm so proud of a basketball player that I'm coaching right now, young lady. And she has had offers. She's had coaches come to me and say, may I speak with this girl? And I have just said, there is no way. She will not go to the States. The money will not entice her. She wants to stay in Canada and get a better education. I'm so proud of that girl.
You know, there are some people, though, where it works for them. I mean, every individual is different. You got to go down there, experience it. In the case of Jessica, she wanted to come home. Mike?
I'm guessing, Jessica, your family must be happy now.
For sure.
They get to see you play a lot more regularly.
Yep.
Jessica, how important is winning to you?
Definitely very important.
I mean, that's really why you participate in sport. Do you find it more of an urge to win at university than you did at high school?
I guess so. Just the whole, again, there's always like the big accomplishment of winning like an NCAA championship or a CIS championship. And that's just obviously what I'm striving for as an athlete and as our team. And at the high school level, it was, I guess OFSA was your big win, and we did that in my first year at Mount Carmel, which was amazing. And now, as your career goes on, you just keep looking for those bigger accomplishments.
Do you see yourself thinking about one day playing for Canada at the international level?
Not really. As a female athlete, at least, you kind of are picked out at the younger age. Like, in you're scouted out in junior, and at that point, you're kind of, you're noticed and put in their banking system or whatever, and I never had that opportunity. So I guess when I went to college, I kind of understood that wouldn't be something I would be able to achieve at any point.
I know this doesn't happen in hockey. It only happens in other sports. But have you ever been in a situation where you've heard a coach use a form of profanity to get the message across to the athletes? Like, you better go bleep, bleep, bleep and do something bleep, bleep because we got to win this game. What are your thoughts about using profanity?
I'm not against it. I think if that's the way you need to get your message across and that's the way your athletes respond, then so be it.
Okay. Just curious. We appreciate your time this morning, Jessica, and we thank you very much on this holiday weekend. I hope Thanksgiving goes very well for you, and good luck in today's game as well.
All right, thank you very much.
Jessica Zarafa, fine athlete, nice young woman, great student as well, I understand, at the University of Guelph. And in her opinion, she made the right choice. Experienced at New Hampshire, got hurt, surgery, came back, and now is doing extremely well, one of the top female hockey players in the OUA. Let's go to the phones. Andrew is joining us right now from Whitby. Andrew, good morning, sir. You there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling about your conversation you're having this morning about U.S. education being a little bit less and how athletes are treated down there.
Yes, go ahead.
So I find everyone has a misbelief that because there's so many much more universities down there that it's dewatered. When I've had both experiences and knowing that education is at par in Canada and the U.S., and in terms of how athletes are treated, one must negotiate into their scholarship that if they get hurt, that their scholarship stays and they're able to finish their career.
What university were you at?
I was at a school in Ohio, Division II school.
And it worked out for you?
Yes, I worked out. I did get hurt. I did get surgery, and all the costs were covered. And my education was be able to be completed at the same level as where it was when I went down there.
And we appreciate your call this morning, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that. Well, it's interesting. I mean, as I said before, you stop 10 athletes, you get 10 different experiences, whether it was in the U.S. at a big school, small school, college, university, Division I, junior college, and the same here in Canada. I mean, it has to work out for the individual. Al?
No, I was lucky enough to coach a female basketball player. I'll mention her name. Her name was Angie Ball. I coached her from grade 9 to grade 12. I didn't coach her in grade 13. But she was a tremendous player, went down to University of Georgia, 4 years there, was very lucky to meet, or maybe he was very lucky to meet her, talking about Bubba Watson, the professional golfer. I mean, could any situation have been better for Angie Ball than that? And she's got a great education and is doing extremely well.
And I'm sure she remembers her high school coach, too. Let's go back to the phones. Bill, joining us from Oakville this morning. Bill, how you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, just a comment and a question. Players that are in the NCAA, for whatever reason, want to come home. But the situation is, I'm finding that it's very difficult for some of the kids to actually get them back. They're being discriminated against. They want to come home. They want to go to university back in Canada again for whatever reason. And there's a year wait. I don't understand that.
Thank you for your call. What do you think about that, Al or Mike, that the fact that you have to sit out and wait?
Boy, I wasn't aware of that.
Well,
I had a student come back from University of Maryland, and she went right to Brock.
Mike? I'm assuming that's relatively recent. I think the rules have changed in the last couple of years. It just seems rather ridiculous. If we're concerned about our athletes leaving the country to go to the States, we should be welcoming them back with open arms.
Rather than penalizing them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true, what you said? I mean, that's common practice now? Because I'm totally unaware of that.
All right, we'll find out. We'll find out, and we will educate everybody next week when we find out the answer to that question. Mike Russell in studio with us, the guy with the, what do you call that color? Purple? Maroon?
Maroon.
Maroon, okay, with the sweatshirt with his name on it. Al Humphrey is here as well. Both of them outstanding coaches, and still are, and outstanding teachers as well. And we appreciate you gentlemen coming in on this holiday weekend as well. Interesting discussion with Jessica Zarafa, and I'll tell you something. You want to hear something very, very informative? Stay with us after the break. Anthony Liu is joining us, an excellent athlete in baseball, football, track, when he was at Pickering High School in Ajax. And it was almost a year ago he was involved in a tragic accident, and his aspirations of playing pro sports and more were shattered. It was an industrial accident. We'll reminisce, we'll think about it, and we'll hear what he's doing now, almost 1 year later. It's Sunday morning on the Fan 590.
It's time for the Dean of College Sports. It's Sunday morning with David Grossman on the Fan 590.
9:42. I think that works out to, 18 minutes before 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I did well in math. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Thanks for joining us. I'm David Grossman, along with a great production crew. Josh Goldsmith, Dan Riccio, and in studio, two very good coaches. Mike Russell, Al Humphrey. Before we get to our next guest, Al, who's the best athlete you ever coached, and why?
Best athlete I ever coached, actually, I've got two names. One of them, Laura Shearer, the greatest athlete I ever coached. Now she's a teacher, phys ed teacher at Agent Court Collegiate, and I keep hoping that one day she'll coach a team against me. She was just phenomenal in every sport that she participated in.
And the other?
The other one is the girl that I'm teaching right now, or coaching right now, Jamie Liang.
I wonder if I asked both of them what they thought of you as a coach, if they'd get this, if I get the same reaction. We'll find out.
I'd hope so.
Mike Russell, before we get to our next guest, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Region Appeal is hosting four Ontario High School Volleyball Championships later this month, and this is the official invitation to David Grossman and the Toronto Star to drop by, and I'll make sure I get you a pass and set you up and see some of the best volleyball players in the province.
And what happens if I come to this event and end up going to jail? Will you bail me out?
I will hide you in the back of our office, David. They'll never find you.
There is a group of individuals that just can't stand me. They don't like me. And as a result, they're going to penalize student athletes. They don't want any media coverage from me. I've only been doing this for 40 years or thereabouts, and they just don't like controversy.
Well, David, does that mean that there will be no officer results in the Toronto Star?
Yes.
You cannot produce the results.
If they give them to me, yes. We'll put them in.
That is a great service that you're doing for the
athletes. They provide me with the results, by all means. Otherwise, I have no way of getting them. I mean, I'm not going to go to a website and take information, which could be inaccurate and spell people's names wrong. But this is an organization that just, they're standing pat.
That is unbelievable. Yep. And in my estimation, and the name is Al Humphrey, extremely selfish.
An autonomous organization, but we'll leave them alone because we got more important things to talk about now than that group of people. Let me tell you something, an interesting story. It all happened in a horrifying split second, and Anthony Liu still can't believe it. As a matter of fact, he told me, I thought I should be dead. This was him talking. And I remember talking with him, he's a great athlete, track star, bright future in baseball. His voice cracked as he recounted the events of a rather bizarre, and in fairness, a near fatal industrial accident that left him in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down. So whatever happened to Anthony, as is the case with many people, they just sort of drift away. People like him get forgotten. Is he getting the help that he needs? Well, not me, because I'm curious. I'm very interested in Anthony and his future. I think he's a remarkable young man, and he's a tremendous role model for others. And we're delighted to have him on this Thanksgiving weekend from his home in Ajax. Anthony, sir, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I don't want to do this, but I have to benefit our audience. It was December of 2009 when your life changed. And I'm sure a day doesn't go by and you're thinking about what occurred. How is the rehab going right now?
Rehab is slow.
What do you mean by that?
Unfortunately, it's very slow. Earlier this summer, I suffered from a pressure sore, and basically that's from sitting up in my wheelchair too long, having too much fun, basically, and not paying enough attention to my skin. Because, you know, as I cannot feel anything from my waist down, it's imperative that I take care of my skin and pay a close watch, and I may have slipped up a little bit, and now I'm suffering from that, and it's taking quite a while for this wound to heal up, but I'm still trekking along strong.
You told me that one day you're going to prove a lot of people wrong, and including doctors, and that you're going to walk again. What's the prognosis?
The prognosis is that I am getting sensation down lower than my belly button, which the doctor said I would not, so they're already wrong, as far as I'm concerned. Every day I wake up, it's a fight. I'm going to do the good fight, and
things are going well. Things are going well.
Is sports still in your plans, Anthony? I mean, is there still somewhere down that you want to participate in your mind? And have you given any thought to maybe competing in part of Canada's Paralympic program?
Definitely for sure, because I will always be a competitor. As you know me very well, and I love to compete. I've actually been speaking with some wheelchair basketball coaches, and it looks like I'll be, as soon as this pressure sort of gets gone, I'll be basically on the court again, training for a great future in that sport.
I don't want to play you in a game in 21 because I know I would lose, but I would still get a couple of points. You're that good an athlete. I'm sorry?
I said you might.
Yeah, I might, eh? Okay. I remember when you competed for Pickering High School on the track team, your coach then, Cyril Sahadath, talked a lot about you. Your baseball coaches also remarked about the phenomenal player that you were. What does Anthony Liu do now on any given day?
On any given day, Anthony's trying to make the world a better place. Honestly, I just want to get out there and do as much as I can. I'm with my friends and my family quite a bit, and seeing the difference that I make in their lives and other people's lives that I meet, and it's just, it touches me a lot to be able to get out there and do what I do. This accident has, so a lot of people say closed one door, but I think it's opened so much more because, you know, I get up every morning and I'm thankful that I'm here because I could have not been. This is Thanksgiving and I could have been here with my family, or I could have been in a grave and my mom could have been standing over it. So I have to thank God and just thank my family for so much of their support and whatnot.
Mike?
Hi, Anthony. I have the privilege of teaching at a school named after Rick Hansen, and I've also had the privilege of meeting the man about once a year the last 12 years, and it sounds like I may have the privilege one day of teaching at a school named after Anthony Liu. It takes a special person to find the best in the worst situations, and it sounds like you're so far well on your way towards that. What kind of assistance are you able to access? What kind of programs are available for you at this stage?
Anthony, you there?
Yep. Can you repeat that again for me?
What kind of programs are available to you at this stage? Has there been assistance from the schools? Has there been assistance from within the community with respect to sport and just your everyday living?
Believe it or not, there is, quite a bit of assistance out there. I'm getting well taken care of. I know that's not the case for a lot of people, but my circumstances are extenuating, so. But my insurance company is great. As I said, my friends and family are great, so I don't need much assistance outside of my family and friends because they take care of me so well. But the programs are out there. You just need to know what's out there. A lot of people don't know, and when you know, it helps a lot because they are out there, so. You just have to know where to dig, where to look, but things are going well in that regard also.
Anthony, it's Al Humphrey here. I live in Pickering, and I remember the story for sure, and I've refereed football games where you played, I believe, and you're just beginning this, but I can foresee you as being a great inspiration for people who misunderstand that their problems are minuscule in comparison to the ones that you have. Good luck, my friend. I know that you're going to do a great deed for humanity and for yourself.
Anthony, you talk about your family. You talk about your mother as well. One very special person. I had an opportunity many times to speak with her. Someone who is inspirational. And she's always been there for you. A lot of people will say, well, that's what mothers are for. Well, we know situations where that's not always the case. In your case, she's always been there. And you're very, very fortunate, very lucky. Does it bother you that she's devoting more and more time to your well-being when maybe there should be others involved more to help you out?
It does. It does. You know, mom's there for the first little bit of my life, and then I'm supposed to be grown up and gone, but she's still here consistently every day, every morning, every night. Not that that's a bad thing, because I love her and she's amazing, but she needs a break. My dad's done a great job, too, of taking over her and my sister and my friend and my girlfriend. So in that respect, yeah, she does need a break, but this is what she wants to do. Her being with me makes her happy, and seeing her happy is what makes me happy. So,
you know, you got me feeling a little bit better now, because as soon as you mentioned girlfriend, I would imagine, well, that's put a big smile on your face. So I would think things are going very well for Anthony Liu if he's got a girlfriend.
Things are going very well.
Okay, we won't elaborate on that right now, but I'm going to mention two words to you. And Anthony, after you hear those words, I want you to tell me what they mean to you. Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day. Obviously, love, family, just the whole warm atmosphere. Thanksgiving Day at my grandma's house, it's very compact and tight, because although her house is big, there's so much of us. So, you know, it's one of the best times of the year. Like I said, I'm so thankful to be here. It could have been a whole lot worse, and it has been for a lot of people. And I think the main thing is that we just wake up every morning and thank God that we're alive, because some people don't.
Do you see yourself one day as a coach?
I most definitely hope so.
I mean, what are you good at? Basketball or track and field or baseball? Which one?
I'm good at it all.
Yep. That's exactly the answer I wanted to hear. Anthony, to you and your family, a very happy Thanksgiving, and we wish you well. We will continue to keep in touch with you. You, as I said, you're a tremendous, tremendous role model and very inspirational to a lot of people on this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. All the best to you, my friend, and to your family.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show, and a happy Thanksgiving to you, too. And for what it's worth, I am one of those people that like you, and I believe that athletes' times and postings and wins should be posted in the paper.
There you go.
It's well, very important.
I'll save you a little bit of the turkey that I have left over, and thank you for your kind words. I certainly hope other people in a certain provincial organization understand when they hear it from athletes like you and coaches and teachers and educators like Mike Russell and Al Humphrey. Anthony, all the best. He's gone. There you go. Anthony Liu, a tremendous student. I mean, we sit here and we look and we thank God for everything we've got. And here's a tremendous story of an athlete who has an ability to win, to survive, to be better than he is under the circumstances. I mean, what do you make out of that, Mike?
Well, I think it's there's someone who realizes that every opportunity we're given is important, regardless of what is thrown our way. How we turn around and react to that is exactly who we are. And it looks like Anthony Liu is going to be a pretty phenomenal young man now, and probably someone we're going to hear a lot from over the future.
Al Humphrey, he'll probably be a better coach than you, too.
There are a lot of them who are better than I am. I know that for sure. Whenever I hear stories like that, it puts everything in perspective, and too bad we can't remember it a little bit longer. The problems that most of us have are so trivial in comparison to that.
What's been the biggest highlight for you as a high school coach?
The biggest highlight, I would guess, would be when, you mean one particular situation?
One thing in four decades.
1996, I had a junior boys basketball team at Mowat, Sir Oliver Mowat. And everybody told me that it was the best junior basketball team in the province. And that was the highlight of my sporting career.
Mike, for you?
probably 1989. I had a team at Applewood Heights, a volleyball team, and I used to film all their games for them, but I didn't own a VCR, so that was what they gave me at the end of the season.
Good luck with the four provincial championships. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to pull it off, but knowing you, you will, and you'll do an outstanding job as well. Thank you for coming in, Mike, and a happy Thanksgiving to you, and same to you, Al Humphrey. Remarkable work that you do in officiating, coaching, and teaching to both of you. It's too bad there aren't more people like you. I want to say thanks to Andrea Grantham, who joined us as well from Ottawa, the Executive Director of Physical and Health Education Canada, with a very clear message to politicians. Enough talking, time for some action. Let's get our kids in shape, in good physical shape, and out and participating. Let's defeat obesity. Peter Baxter, we wish him well. We thank him very much for joining us. The situation with Wilfrid Laurier and the fact that the CIS has declared one of their players to be ineligible. He's got a week to prove that everything is, in fact, kosher, and maybe they will maintain the victory and not give it up to the University of Toronto. Jessica Zarafa from the University of Guelph, and you heard Anthony Liu as well. Great stories on this holiday weekend, this Thanksgiving, and Josh Goldsmith. Dan Riccio, gentlemen, thanks again very much for joining us. All of you out there, fans, have a very, very good Thanksgiving weekend. We'll see you next Sunday morning for more high school, amateur sport, college, university, grassroots. We have it here on the Fan 590.